Welcome, welcome to the best 5-minute wine podcast with Forrest Kelly.
So, okay, let's have some fun here. Okay, question one. What's the real reason sommeliers make you taste the wine before pouring the whole glass? Is it A, to check if the wine is corked or flawed? B, to silently judge your facial expression? Or C, to give you time to remember where you parked?
I mean, truthfully, it's A. You want to see if it's corked and if you hate it. I mean, like, if somebody bought a bottle and so they hated it, which I would be looking at them for maybe some facial cues, but trying not to judge. Just kidding. I wouldn't actually judge anybody. But you want to see if it's flawed. And if they don't like it, then personally, I'd rather like figure it out and pour that wine by the glass and get them to try something else, because I don't want somebody to like pay for and drink a bottle that they don't like.
Right. But then there's also the opportunity where it's like, okay, try something new here. And you might love it. But then, you know, in the back scenes, what happens to that bottle after you've uncorked it? Does the staff get to drink it later, or how does that work?
I mean, I think that's a great way to use that. If somebody sends it back and it's not like faulty, then yeah, have your staff taste it and they know how to sell it. Why not? And then sell a couple glasses, you know, buy the glass as a special, and there you go. Like everybody's happy.
Question two, what does it actually mean when someone says a wine has good legs? A, it indicates the alcohol or sugar content. B, it means the wine is expensive. Or C, it qualified for the Boston Marathon.
It should have qualified for the Boston Marathon. It has to do with the amount of sugar and alcohol in the wine. It is, I actually mentioned this in the back of the book. I have like a cheat sheet, and that's something I would say you don't really need to say anymore, although my dad loved to say it. You know, it's a very old school kind of way of talking about wine. And I think you think, oh, wine has good legs. It, you know, it means that it's high quality and expensive. But I think it's just a way to have like a wink and a nod about, hey, the wine has good legs. You don't really need to say it.
Did you ever have the conversation with dad and go, Dad, let me set you straight here?
Yeah, I mean, definitely when I started to actually work in wine and know about it, I was like, why do you say that? But, you know, he also thought like his family was originally from Bordeaux. So, you know, those were the wines. Those were the best wines. Yeah, that was always the pick. And so once I finally started to learn about wine, I introduced some new things into the mix. I grew up thinking, oh my God, like he knows so much about wine. But I think as I learned more about wine, I realized that he really just had this, like, which is fine, like a narrow perspective on being like, oh, well, this wine that I know from where my family's from is the best. So I don't know that he really would have thought about it that much, but yeah, you know, he just enjoyed wine and having a good time.
And sometimes that's bliss. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Why do people swirl their wine glass? A, to release their aromas. B, to look important. Or C, they're trying to start a tiny wine tornado to summon the flavor gods.
It's A. But they are kind of summoning the flavor gods, so I kind of like that that explanation of it, because really that's what it is. Like the contact with the air is what kind of like wakes the aroma, wakes up the wine. Plus, if you're, you know, it's just kind of like fun to do. I don't know. It almost becomes like a tick. I think if you work in wine, you're just like used to like swirling and sniffing and swirling and sniffing. But also, I don't know, like I take time to come back to my impressions. So I like that like swirl, sniff, have a sip, and kind of rinse and repeat to really form a full opinion of the wine. But I know it looks soggy, but it's really, it looks cool.
When you put it in your mouth, is there a certain route that you should divert it to, or just let it wash over palate, or how does that work once it gets inside?
I mean, the way I describe doing it, if you want to, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily do this like with every sip you take, but maybe initially tasting a wine, if you're at a wine tasting or if you're tasting a bottle, you kind of want to take a little bit of air as if you're like sipping on a mini cocktail straw, like just a tiny little bit. You don't have to go like crazy with it. You're not gargling, you know, like mouthwash. But yeah, that again, that like aeration helps. You kind of want it to touch all different points of your palate because you taste different things in different places. You don't need to be too fancy about it.
Well, exactly. I was talking with my brother about that yesterday, and he was telling me that you don't want to flood your mouth. You just want to take a small sip. Yeah. And I was thinking, yeah, I do that anyway, just because I don't want my teeth stained. That's a whole different thing. Number four, what's the deal with smelling the cork? A, it can hint at whether the wine is spoiled, or B, it's mostly theater, the pour tells you more, or C, the cork legally cannot be seated at the table until it's been formally introduced.
My opinion is B, it's mostly theater. A cork is going to smell like cork, you know? If you want to smell, if your wine is corked, smell the wine in the glass, take a whiff from like the open bottle. But that was actually something I learned at Tower. I was just like, of course the cork is going to smell like cork. I mean, yeah, you can smell if it's tainted, but I think it should be you're smelling the actual wine itself for that flaw.